Greetings to all of you this morning in the name of Jesus. It is good to be worshiping with you this morning. As I reflected back and looking at some of my diary, I think it was in about October of 2012 that I was here for a week, so it'll soon be 6 years. But I have good memories of having been with you that week. As has been mentioned, of course, this is Easter Sunday morning, but there's a sense in which we gather to worship our risen Savior 52 times throughout the year. Of course, this is a bit more special this morning as we think of Easter Sunday morning. The resurrection of Jesus is paramount. It is the peak for the believer as relates to our power that has been that is given to each one of us. Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to begin here, but I'll be looking at several other scriptures this morning. I would like to title the message this morning, Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? As a question, is Jesus Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first number of verses, the Apostle Paul affirms the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Maybe I'll just read some of those verses, verses 1 through 21. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then ye also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. As I said, the Apostle Paul is affirming the resurrection of Jesus Christ to help us to understand that you and I will someday also rise from the dead. This old body that's decaying, that will be buried, will come to life someday again. Verse 1, he talks about the good news of the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein I stand. The gospel message, in many ways, brothers and sisters, the gospel message is a resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Verse 3 and 4, he talks about the good news. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Then verse 5 through 9, he writes about the eyewitnesses, those who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And he mentions a number who were. He was seen of Cephas, or of Peter, then of the 12, then about 500. And then he talks about he was seen of James and of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of him, the resurrected Savior. Now, critics would doubt and would deny the resurrection of Jesus, and he talks about that. But it's clear that there were those who would say that the disciples stole him away. We could go to Matthew 27, verse 62 to 66. There it talks about that, how they stole Jesus' body. And chapter 28, verse 11 through 15 also talks about that. And I would raise the question, if that were the case, then how could the apostles preach with such power and life? Their message was clear, and it was with power. Jesus, they did not steal the body of Jesus. And there would have been others who would have said, no, Jesus did not rise from the dead. But indeed, he did. And then he tells us, verse 12 through 21, that you and I are a hopeless people if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And indeed, we know this morning that Jesus did rise from the dead. What was some of the responses of those who were eyewitnesses that Jesus did rise from the dead? And I'd like to consider that this morning, especially as it relates to the question now, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, resurrection chapter, where we have the account of the resurrection of Jesus. And I'd like to consider the responses of some who first, their first understanding when Jesus, when they fully understood that Jesus had come back to life, rose from the dead. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, And that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooping down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to have been the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What was Mary Magdalene's response when she discovered that Jesus had come to life, that he was no longer in that grave? My Lord and my God, she says. Rabboni, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Rabboni means instructor, teacher, the one that is chief in authority. Rabboni. And then we have another account, John chapter 20, also verses 26 to 29, when there's a first recognition of Jesus' resurrection. After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas said with him, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast believed me, has seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. His response was, my Lord and my God. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Another response, John 21, verse 1 through 7. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were gathered together, Simon Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore by the disciples, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Verse 7 says, that once Peter understood that it was Jesus, he said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. We have another account. This is found in Luke chapter 24, where there's a discovery of Jesus after the resurrection. This account is, of course, those disciples as they were on the road to Emmaus. And maybe I won't read the entire account, verse 13 through 35, but it talks about how the time came that their hearts burned within them, it says, as they communed with Jesus. And when they discovered that it indeed was Jesus. Verse 34, it says, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." The Lord is risen. They recognized him as the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus has so much to do with the lordship of Jesus. The lordship of Jesus in our lives. It is Vines that says something like this. He says, "The title Lord has given to our Savior in its full significance rests upon the resurrection, and it is realized only in the Holy Spirit." So the title Lord rests upon the resurrection of Jesus our Savior and is only realized as the presence of the Spirit lives and dwells within us. A scripture that would verify that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, but that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So this morning, if you recognize Jesus as Lord, it is because of the presence of the Spirit within you that interprets that to us and to you and I. The lordship of Jesus is proven or vindicated through the resurrection of Jesus. That's so beautiful. I'd like for you to think of two scenes this morning. Two scenes. I don't know who preached last Sunday here, last Sunday we talked about Palm Sunday. That Sunday when there was a multitude as they followed Jesus entering into Jerusalem. What were they crying out? What were they saying? Hosanna. Hosanna, Son of David. Hosanna. Now, what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna means something like this. Save now. Deliver now. Send prosperity. Do something for us, Jesus. Is what Hosanna means. I read some of the scenes for Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection of our Jesus, our Lord. What did they say? Did they say Hosanna? No. They said Rabboni, or they said Lord and my God. Now, there's a difference between those two words. And the point is, brothers and sisters, we need a deliverer. We need a Savior. All of us do. But we need to move from that to see Jesus as Lord. I ask you this morning, is your relationship with Jesus as a believer, is that an investment or is it a venture? There's nothing wrong with investments. We all make investments in many different ways. Sometimes we invest in monetary ways. We invest time. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class, the importance of prioritizing our time, making wise investments with time. That's good. But you know what? We're expecting a return. We're expecting a return on our investments. Now, venture is a little different word. Now, we don't, the English language and our culture around us has kind of warped or twisted what venture really means. We've connected add to that adventure, you know? And so we enjoy adventure, right? Something that's new, that's fresh. But the reality is adventure really means something that could call for denial of self, could call for labor, could call for some criticism. If you're on a venture, something that has been is unfamiliar territory, as it were, before you. You don't know exactly what you're going to experience in this venture. What's going to be the end result of all this? That's connected with the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus as Lord. I need to be saved. I need a deliverer. But I need to go beyond that in service for my Lord and my Savior. And it becomes a venture, as it were. This morning, I'd like to consider the idea of two words. The one is dilemma. Now, we know what a dilemma is, right? We've experienced that. It's when things, well, there's various definitions, several definitions of dilemma. When you're in a predicament and seemingly there's no satisfactory solution of some kind, that's a dilemma. Or another definition is when there are choices, okay? There are several choices, and you need to choose between the two at least. Maybe it's a little bit like, to illustrate, when you have a fellowship meal. And you find that there are several kinds of potatoes, there's different vegetables, and there are maybe a half a dozen different desserts. You're in a bit of a dilemma, right? Because what are we going to choose? Trilemma. What is that? Now, I don't know if I'm making up words here or not, but preachers can do that, okay? Okay, we have a triangle, and we're only going to have three choices. A trilemma. In this triangle, we're going to put the Lord Jesus at the top of the triangle. And there would be scripture references for that. I read some of those references. John 20, verse 16, where Mary says, Rabboni. And what she's really saying is, Lord. Or John 20, 28, where Thomas says, my Lord and my God. John 21, verse 7. Where John says, "This it is the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. Do you see Jesus as Lord? Is he Lord? Now, there are other scriptures where there were others that had other names for Jesus our Lord. John chapter 8. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, we find where Jesus is called something else. John chapter 8, verse 48 through 53. And in here, Jesus was in dialogue with the Jews. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have no devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Here were a people that were calling Jesus a devil. A devil. Now, just before that, Jesus, in John chapter 8, Jesus was telling us what the devil is and who he is. Look at verse 44. It says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, he speaketh a lie. He speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." So, okay, on the top of our triangle, we have Jesus as Lord. The other corner of our triangle, we're going to say there were those who called him a liar. Lord, liar. And we find that in John chapter 8, verse 48 through 53, as I said, where they called him a liar. Now, I am sure that there's none of us this morning that would ever want to say that Jesus is liar, is a liar. Call him that. But the fact is that if I'm an unbeliever, there's a sense in which I am saying that. Jesus, you're a liar. Because I'm living in unbelief. Jesus is truth, it says. It tells us that Jesus is truth. There are scriptures that tell us who the liar is. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." I haven't sinned. I don't need a Savior. I don't need a Lord. We make him a liar, it says, and his truth, his word is not in us. 1 John 5:10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Sobering. Is Jesus Lord? Or is he a liar in your life? Do you believe in him? Do you believe him? Romans 3 verse 4 would tell us that let God be true, but every man a liar. Every man a liar. Lord, liar. Now let's go to the next one. We find that in Mark chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. Mark chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. And this is what others have said about Jesus and who he was. Mark 3, verse 21 and 22. "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." Let me read verse 20 as well. "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." He's beside himself. Or in other words, there would be other scriptures that would indicate by that they were saying he's a madman. And then there would be other scriptures that would imply in Matthew 4:24 or Matthew 17:15 that he is a lunatic. So there you have Lord, you have liar, and you have lunatic. There were others who were calling Jesus, our Lord, a lunatic. Do you see Jesus as one whose demands upon your life are unreasonable? He's beside himself. He's beside himself. He's a lunatic. Is that the way you would see Jesus? No. The Bible tells us that his demands are reasonable upon our lives. A reasonable. We're to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is only a reasonable service. Romans chapter 1, verse 12, and verse 1. Only a reasonable service. Is Jesus Lord? I'd like to consider now just 5 points quickly as it relates to Jesus being Lord of our lives. Lord of our life. What does that mean? That term, Lord of my life, Lordship. Number one, it means that Jesus is the owner. There's ownership. I belong to him. We belong to him. Once we can honestly confess that Jesus is Lord, that means I belong to him. I'm at his disposal. I surrender all to him, whatever the cost. I belong to him. At his disposal. I am his possession. He is my Lord. He is my Lord. Number two, the lordship of Jesus simply means that he is my master. He is my master. I now serve him. I serve him. And the Bible tells us that we cannot have two masters. Either we'll hold to the one or we'll hate the other. We're going to have to choose between one of two. You cannot serve two masters. And the word cannot is the interesting word. It doesn't mean that we're not allowed to, but it means that there is no ability to. You were not able to have two masters. It'll be either be one or the other. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, then he must be master. He must be master. Resurrected Jesus, Lord of our life. Thirdly, when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, that means he is king of our life. He is king. Now, we talk about the kingdom of God. And it's an interesting subject, one that I like to explore. The kingdom of God. And this morning, we sit together here as a part of God's kingdom, right? We belong to him. He is our king. And we talk about that. Well, the kingdom of God, is it, what is it? Well, there's a sense in which it is a spiritual kingdom. Because the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not with observation. Or in other words, there's not a lot of pomp and show and a waving of flags. When the kingdom of God enters or it becomes visible in a place, it's not with that. Not by observation. It also says that you can't say, lo, there it is, or lo, here it is. So it's not territorial. In other words, as we meet here at Messiah this morning, a part of the kingdom of God is here, but not the only place. It's many, many other places throughout the world. Then Jesus says, well, where is the kingdom of God? And he says, the kingdom of God is within you. So there it's spiritual. But I want to remind us this morning that lest we spiritualize it too much, that every king and a kingdom has subjects, right? And citizens. That's you and I. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus, our Lord, our risen Lord, is our king. And we are subjects. We're a part of his kingdom here on earth. The kingdom of God. And our king, according to Ephesians, it talks about where our king, Ephesians 4, that he descended to the lower parts of the earth. And what is it but that he also ascended, right? So our king was buried, descended into the earth. He rose again, has ascended back to the Father. And in Ephesians 4, I'm not going to take the time to turn to that scripture, but there it tells us, it makes reference to something that had been written in the past, something that was prophesied. It's talking about the gifts that are given to the church, to the subject of his kingdom, you and I this morning. And there it talks about how that the gifts have been given to the church for the perfecting of the saints. And has reference to Psalm 68 and verse 18. And I'm just going to quickly turn back to that and read that verse. It says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Now the psalmist, when he wrote that, he understood the idea of a king ascending. I understand that when a king would take more territory, or his kingdom would be enlarged, and he would take a city, and what he would do, he would take his coach, his carriage, and he would ascend to the highest seat of that carriage. And as he would pray through his new territory, he would throw out gifts to those who were just days before the rebellious against this king and his kingdom, the new king and his kingdom. But now they are his subjects. Now they belong to him. They are part of his kingdom. Now that's you and I. We were the rebellious, right? Outside of the kingdom. But when Jesus becomes our Lord, he becomes our king. And I become his citizen. And he gives to you and I gifts so that we may serve him in that kingdom here on earth. Jesus our Lord is our king. He's our king. Number one, we belong to him. He's our owner. There's ownership. Secondly, he's our master. Thirdly, he's our king. And fourthly, when we say Lord, there's a sense of respect that goes with that. My Lord and my God. There's a sense of submission that goes with that. Submission. 1 Peter 3, verse 6. There it talks about how Sarah called Abraham, what? Lord. Lord. In submission to Abraham. There's submission that goes with the lordship of Jesus. Respect and submission. And lastly, Lord has to do with reverence. With reverence. When we honestly confess in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we cannot do that recklessly, carelessly. There's a sense of reverence and worship that goes with the lordship of Jesus. You see, Lord in the New Testament would be equivalent to Jehovah in the Old Testament, or Yahweh. And the Jews, God's people, were very careful how they used the name of God. There was reverence that went with that. And I believe when Jesus becomes my Lord and your Lord, there's a reverence and awe that goes with that. Is Jesus Lord, I ask you this morning? Is he liar or lunatic, or is he Lord of our lives? That's important that we answer that question honestly. Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. Yes, you are Hosanna, You saved me. You delivered me. But you're more than that. We've moved from that to serving you as Lord and King of our lives. Let's kneel together for prayer.